Australia might soon become the latest country to ratify the High Seas Treaty. International waters make up 2/3 of the world's oceans, but these areas have been heavily exploited with almost no protection. Already over 80 countries have formally joined, with 55 more having pledged their commitment, which would lead to the most significant global agreement on ocean protection in decades. The Wire's Sean Dorado asked Richard Leck, head of oceans at World Wildlife Fund Australia, what makes the treaty such a landmark moment in our quest to protect the global marine environment.
The High Seas Treaty covers an enormous part of the world's oceans. It's probably hard to get your head around, but actually the high seas, they cover about half of the planet, which is about 2/3 of the world's oceans. And there's an enormous number of activities, largely fishing related, but those activities have gone to date largely unregulated. And so there's been conservationists, scientists, government officials working on this High Seas Treaty for at least 20 years. And finally, we're getting to the finish line where a large number of countries have actually ratified the treaty. And Australia is getting very close to that point as well.
What tools would this treaty give countries to help the ocean environment?
The High Seas Treaty allows the establishment of marine protected areas, which obviously builds protection for the broader ocean. Other things under the treaty include environmental impact assessment, so to actually look at the types of activities that are happening in the high seas and see whether they're compatible. Things that are quite topical at the moment in that space are deep sea mining. A number of countries around the world and companies that are looking to establish deep sea mining opportunities, these will now be able to be assessed. Other features include the sharing of marine genetic resources. So there's often said that we know more about the surface of the moon than we do about the depth of our oceans, and being able to share some of the science that comes from those explorations is really important. And there's a requirement on wealthier countries under the treaty to build the capacity of less wealthy countries to better manage the high seas that are adjacent to their national waters as well. In our region, in the Pacific, and often those areas are subject to fishing from distant water fleets, so fleets that come from other countries. And clearly those fish have no idea about when they're in national waters or international waters. And being able to better regulate and manage those fisheries is incredibly important from sustainability and economic perspective for many of those Pacific Island countries.
Oh, nice. And on that note, what are the next steps for Australia now?
Australia is fortunate that we have around 24% of our oceans within marine sanctuaries. But a lot of those areas are very remote, very far offshore. Sure. Much of it is in the Southern Ocean. And what's exciting is that the Albanese government made an election commitment in 2025 that 30% of Australia's oceans would be protected in marine sanctuaries, that we would achieve that 30% marine sanctuaries by 2030. And recently, Minister Watt has announced that there will be a review of marine parks that will be designed to achieve that goal. That review is likely to kick off in the next couple of months, most likely in June. And it's a real opportunity for all Australians to engage in that process. It's hard in the current climate where there's so many immediate challenges in our everyday life, whether that's cost of living or politics. And when you look to the global environment where there's a lot of very distressing things happening, it's actually really nice to see countries from all around the world coming together and collaborating to protect our global oceans. Just a great example of global cooperation and something that I hope is a sign that maybe we can get back to into the future.
Richard Leck, head of oceans at World Wildlife Fund Australia, talking to The Wire's Sean Dorado.